Welcome to the podcast series for AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology. I'm your host, Kara Hansel-Kean. Today, we'll discuss the article by Engel et al. Titled, Cardiomyocyte-Specific BMAL1 Deletion in Mice Triggers Diastolic Dysfunction, Extracellular Matrix Response, and Impaired Resolution of Inflammation. This article published online October 2, 2015. Joining me today are Deputy Editor Mary Lindsay, Lead Author Ganesh Halade, and Content Expert Amanda LeBlanc. Let's get started.
Thank you, Kara. In this manuscript, the Young and Halade laboratories paired up to investigate the role of the circadian clock component BMAL1 in cardiac function. They found that genetic disruption of BMAL1 in cardiomyocytes led to the development of diastolic dysfunction, adverse extracellular matrix remodeling, and inflammation. Ganesh, what was the motivation to do this study?
The sleep and wake-up cycle is essential and fundamental part of our daily cycle, and that is the key motivation to do this study. But another important motivation is the cardiomyocyte-specific BMAL deletion decreases the lifespan with age-dependent dilated cardiomyopathy. And this is a pretty striking and the key component for this whole paper. We know that the maximal lifespan of these BMAL mice is almost 1 year, less than 50% less than the littermate controls. And we know in the cardiovascular science, the most important valuable marker is the survival that tests the value for therapy. Therefore, we studied cardiomyocyte-specific BMAL knockout mouse model in collaboration with Martin Young.
I see. This is a very good example of two great laboratories pairing up to have a very nice study. Amanda, these results indicate that this is a model of accelerated cardiac aging. Do these results indicate that the cardiomyocyte is an upstream regulator of aging in the heart?
For the BMAL1 specific mouse, I believe that the cardiomyocyte is an early upstream regulator of cardiac aging. But of course, that's not the only upstream regulator, because of course you also have fibrotic remodeling pathway that's also very active by 28 weeks in this mouse model, and that leads to diastolic dysfunction. So these upstream pathways are very multidimensional.
This paper really illustrates the complex interaction, as you said, between the cardiomyocyte roles and the fibrotic signaling pathways. Ganesh, what is the connection between regulation of the circadian clock in the myocyte and accelerated aging? Are there direct or indirect mechanisms at work here?
Now, how the cardiomyocyte and fibroblasts talk to each other, that is the most key important finding in this paper. Here, what we can see that based on our current results, that's the BMAL deletion in cardiomyocyte indicate direct fibroblast hypertrophic phenotypes. We speculate that this is the direct impact of a clock on fibroblast function and collagen remodeling. Definitely with this first step, we need to do additional study to provide evidence on direct and indirect relationship to find out the fibroblast and the cardiomyocyte nexus.
I see. Amanda, anything to add to those concepts?
You know, it is worth noting that aging in general is associated with an impaired ability to resolve chronic inflammation. And I think this study very nicely shows that the inflammatory and receptor array that they performed indicated that there was a change in gene expression that mediates a defective resolution of inflammation in myocytes. So I think that there appears, at least from this study, that there could be a direct relationship between inflammation, aging, and this BMAL1.
Amanda, you're reading my mind exactly. My very next question was to ask you, what is the connection between leukocytes and sleep-wake cycles? Is anything known in the literature about how circadian rhythm alters leukocyte function?
Yeah, you know, it's pretty interesting. You know, the rest activity cycles, of course, are diurnal for humans, and then they're nocturnal for mice. Now, leukocyte recruitment is enhanced during the active phase, and of course, that's during the day for humans, for most humans at least. And then for the night for mice. And this leukocyte mobilization is reduced during the rest cycle. We think that that's an excellent upcoming opportunistic research area, of course. In peripheral tissues, this circadian recruitment of leukocytes to tissues, which peaks during that active phase, they think it's possibly replenishing the leukocyte population. And we think that this leads to a tissue repair and healing phase. And of course, that's most important or most needed during the active period, you know, when people are most physically active. And there's also a theory out there that this active phase is, of course, when we're most likely to encounter pathogens. So this leukocyte mobilization phase may serve also as like an immunological defense.
Interesting. Ganesh, do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, sure. I will add a few points what Amanda cited, especially the sequence of events. As you are studying very aggressively that after heart attack, there is a robust inflammatory response to heal the left ventricle. But in case of BMAL, what we are seeing, there is a first fibrotic remodeling, and then there is a defective inflammation. So the sequence of events are pretty different. Seems the cardiomyocytes is very sensitive to the sleep-wake-up cycle leading to pathological remodeling. And this very sensitivity of sleep-to-wake-up cycle is pretty strong signs of early cardiac aging, which is quite different than the healing what we see after a heart attack or myocardial infarction in mice healing.
Thank you for those comments, Ganesh. To shift direction just a little bit, in figure 2 of your manuscript, the BMAL1 deficient mice, the images shown there showed that there is maybe some endocardial fibrosis developing in those knockout mice. Do you think there's any indications that there might be perfusion defects in the absence of BMAL1?
Yes, this could be one of the possibility or one of the reason that these mice are developing dilated cardiomyopathy, but the perfusion is not studied in the current experimental protocol. But this seems the maladaptive remodeling initiated quite early, 8 weeks of age, is a sign of fibrosis and expanded by 28 weeks of age. So that could be one of the reasons, but that definitely a good point to study further in our long-term goal.
And speaking of long-term goals and future directions, Ganesh, while fibroblast activation was not directly measured in this manuscript, the increase in the extracellular matrix deposition and the increase in SMAD signaling suggests myofibroblast activation in your model. Are there future plans to evaluate cardiac fibroblast roles?
Yes, we do have a future plan to expand this whole project. We plan to measure the age-associated fibroblast sensitivity to TGF-beta activation, which is very commonly used to stimulate the fibroblast. This simple in vitro fibroblast exposure to TGF-beta will convey whether BMAL deletion impacts fibroblast directly or indirectly. From there, we can expand fibroblast and myofibroblast connection in disturbed clock system. This simple and easy proof of concept will be a good foundation for the next intricate studies in future.
Okay, sounds like some exciting work coming down the pipeline. Amanda, are there any other future directions that you would like to talk about that would be good to take from here?
Actually, piggybacking on the earlier talk that you and Ganesh were referring to regarding the perfusion, I think it'll be really interesting to see if this vascular perfusion or deficits in that is actually leading to the development of these characteristics of cardiac aging in this knockout mouse. So that's one area that I'm excited to see, hopefully, carried into the future. And then I'd also just like to point out that this model in particular, I mean, it only takes 28 weeks to develop, and that's about 8 months less than it would take for you to age out a C57 mouse. So in that regard, you've got a very efficient aging model that takes so far less time than the normal mouse to age out. So this is very ripe for opportunity in terms of the aging field and using this model.
That's an excellent concept, Amanda, that we might be able to use these mice to more quickly dissect some of the aging signaling pathways that are occurring. Ganesh Halade, on behalf of AJP Heart and the American Physiological Society, thank you for submitting your manuscript to our journal. Amanda LeBlanc, thank you for your expert views. Back to you, Kira.
You've been listening to an AJP Heart and Circ podcast. For more podcasts, visit us online at ajpheart.physiology.org. Thank you.